If you would, turn with me to 2 Samuel, read the 22nd chapter, the first to 7 verses, and then the 32nd through the 34th verses. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 7, and then 32 through 34. The sermon title is The Hope of Christmas, God Our Savior. The Hope of Christmas, God Our Savior. Starting with verse 1 of the 22nd chapter. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then verse 32. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and setteth me upon my high places. As we celebrate this Christmas season, one of the things that I think is imperative for us to understand is that God is actually our Savior. See, I fear that we fail to grasp the fact that Jesus Christ, the Savior, is also God, our Savior. When we read in the Old Testament about God being our Savior, and then we read in the New Testament about Jesus being our Savior, it's easy, at least I think it's easy, for us to wrongly separate them into two distinct entities. The reality is that they are one and the same. Now, do not misunderstand that statement neither. I'm not saying that one or the other really does not exist, but I am saying that they are part of the Godhead that Paul wrote about. Let me just give you what he said in Colossians 2. He said, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, the New Testament truth and the Old Testament truth come together to reveal to us that God, the Savior, is also Jesus the Savior. And Jesus the Savior is also God the Savior. Now, sometimes that's hard to distinguish and try to put together and pull apart and grasp and all the things that it means. But let me just simply try to give you that picture as we look at the Scriptures. David needed a Savior. And when he needed a Savior, he looked to God the Father. That's all he knew. That's the only place he knew to turn. That's the only one he could depend upon. But then when we read in the New Testament, we look at people like the Apostle Paul and others that would look to Jesus the Savior. And the question becomes, were they looking at two different Saviors? Or were they looking at the same Savior? So I would submit to you that in both the Old and New Testament, they were looking at one God who is the hope of Christmas. When David was praising the Savior, he was pointing forward to what he may not have known about or probably did not know about. And that's what we celebrated this time that we call Christmas. He was looking at the hope that was given through Jesus Christ. He was looking at the hope that was provided through the Savior when he absolutely had to have a Savior. So the essence of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is actually being expressed to us in the words and in the actions of the Old Testament as well as the New. Paul talks about a Savior, and when he does that, he is talking about the one that is that has come and provided what we needed. David, when he talked about the Savior, he looked forward to the time when this one would come. See, in the Old Testament and in the New, they both looked at the same one. Paul looked back, David looked forward. Paul wrote about it later on in 1 Timothy. And this is a tremendous area of Scripture when you begin to understand who God is and that He is the Savior and that He and Jesus are the same and one. In 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And he was talking about the Savior, Jesus. When David may not have put it all together, and he may not have grasped all that this does and that this provides, it does appear that Paul came to understand the hope that he had in Jesus, who is the Savior. God was speaking through David so that you and I would understand the fact that God has always understood the need of mankind for a Savior. He's always seen that. It was not a surprise at a later date. When Jesus came to earth and died, it was not a surprise that death would come. When Jesus left heaven to put on human flesh, it was not for a slight few years on this earth just to check things out. It was so that He could provide what man needed. It was so that He could give what people needed above everything and anything else. If I ask you today, what would you like to have for Christmas? Or I might phrase it, what would you need for Christmas? If I phrased it that way, most of us would say nothing. Oh, yeah. We really talk about what we want for Christmas, do we not? When you make up your list, and I know some of you older folks still do that, you tell your husband or your wife, "Well, I'd like to have this and this and this." It's not what you need. It's what you want. It's what you like to have. It's those things that you say, "Well, I won't buy any other time of the year, but, you know, at Christmas time, I'll get something special." Friend, when Jesus Christ came to earth, it was not so that you could have what you wanted necessarily, but it was so that you could have what you needed. He provided something that the world needed above everything else. And that message is provided to us from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the creation to the end of time. We listen to what we see given to us in the book of Revelation. It said, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him," Jesus, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Jesus was not a surprise. Neither was Jesus surprised. But He came as the Savior for you and I. God who came to this earth to help us. Well, let's look at these things that are given to us in this area of Scripture. And firstly, I think this provides us the picture of our need of a Savior. I've already expressed that a little bit, but this is made exceptionally clear in this area of Scripture. Listen to David again. "David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Do you remember the events prior to this? Those of you that have read that area of Scripture or maybe heard about it, do you remember the life of King David before he was king? Do you remember the man called King Saul who was chosen by God to be the king over Israel? The king who started so great and mighty? The king who stood head and shoulders above everybody else? Knew more evidently, at least that's the implication. He was high and above other people. And yet, in his life, he refuses to obey God, and his life becomes a life of great turmoil and difficulty. And suddenly David comes along into his life. David, the guy that has killed the giant Goliath. David, the individual who has been able to play on the harp and soothe Saul's soul. David, who has killed his tens of thousands. David, who has fought the battles. And Saul sees him as a problem and tries to take his life. And David begins his journey of being a fugitive, hiding in the mountains, sleeping in the caves, running. And everywhere he turns, the enemy is there. Everywhere he turns, someone is trying to take his life. And oftentimes, it's King Saul. But then Saul dies in battle. Israel's defeated. Saul's sons are killed as well. And David is the one who buries the dead. It's David who fills the gap to oppose the enemies of Israel. And finally, Israel makes him their king. And through all the difficulties and all the hiding from the enemy, God delivers David. In this chapter, David sings this song. And listen to some of the words again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. In this Old Testament event, we're given a precursor to the coming of the Savior Jesus Christ. You see, David needed a Savior. The world was against him. His world. Enemies everywhere he turned. People that he thought he could trust tried to turn him in. The one that he served so loyally, King Saul, wanted his head. And David needed help. And he says, God is my fortress. He is my rock. He is my Savior. David couldn't do it in his abilities. He could not provide what he needed through his power. His ability as a general was not enough. His fighting powers could not withstand the enemy. But God, the Savior, could. Friend, there's a New Testament truth for you. We need a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone. Everyone. Nothing you can do for it. No provision given in your life that can provide what you need for your soul. Nowhere can you turn in your own abilities. Nowhere do you have what is needed in your own self. You can't go to your bank account. You can't go back to your physical abilities, your mental abilities, the provisions that you have in your life. None of those things are enough. And again, the New Testament would tell us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need a Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You need a Savior. Absolutely, positively need a Savior. I realize that sometimes we do not see the correlation of Old Testament events and New Testament truth, but here it is brought to us through the very actions and words of David. We see the reality of what he lived through and the need he had of a Savior. And that message is very clear whenever men or women find themselves in a place that they cannot get out of, that they must have a Savior. And my friend, today that Savior's name is Jesus, and he has come to intervene for us on our behalf. You and I need a Savior. We must have him. Nowhere else can you go. No other possibilities. No other places. No other hope can you have than Jesus. And so the hope of Christmas is Jesus. The hope of Christmas is given. The hope of Christmas is provided. And somehow, some way, it seems to me that back in the day of King David, in approximately 750 BC, if I remember my timing correctly, there is a guy by the name of David hiding in caves, knowing nowhere to turn, that calls on God. And somehow, some way, tells us that we have a Savior named Jesus. And if you trust him, you can be saved. The next thing I would give you is that this reveals to us our faith in the Savior. You know, everything I've said really wraps around that. I understand that. I really do. And I'm not trying to belabor this issue, but it's so important that I think that you and I need to grasp it more and more all the time. Do you not find yourself sometimes going along in life feeling like you got things under control? Do you not feel like sometimes, you know, you're getting up, you got your business or your job, everything's working good, the kids are growing up, they're not sick, the wife likes you today, you know, hey, everything seems good. And then all of a sudden, the world collapses. And if you have nothing to stand on, you collapse with it. David says, God is my rock. And you and I ought to remember that truth. We can trust our rock, our deliverer, our Savior. We can trust him. When you read the different things that David has to say about God the Savior, you'll begin to realize that here was a man who had faith that God would care for him. He believed. He actually believed and trusted in this marvelous God who he believed took care of him. I know that our world stands around us sometimes and they look at us and think we're weird. And some, you know, we are compared to the world. The world, what do you trust in if you're not a Christian, huh? Do you trust in your health? Now, every person here that's 50 years of age or older knows that health is not a guarantee. Some of you younger than that. But if you're 50, you know it. Every time you go to a doctor, they want to give you something. Because you're falling apart. You know that, don't you? Your heart's getting wore out. Your liver's overused. Your kidneys aren't functioning like they're supposed to. They give you this pill and that pill, and it seems like this pill and that pill affects something else that you didn't want to affect it. And that's your life. And the body is just seemingly deteriorated. You weigh more than you used to. There's a few of you that are you're not even nice. You're the same weight you were when you were in high school. Nobody likes you. You know that. They don't like you. And you watch yourself change, and you watch life become different, and there's nothing you can do about it. And your body isn't strong enough to do. And then your intellectual abilities. Yeah. Do you know where your keys are right now? Some of us do, but I mean, everybody doesn't. Do you remember? When's the last time you headed down the steps and you got about halfway down and you thought, why was I coming down here? Are you going somewhere? Folks, it's ingrained in me. When I come up Asheville Highway, I turn on Marshall Lane. And so I don't care where I'm going. I have to be real careful or I'm coming down Marshall Lane. It might not be anywhere I'm going, but that's where I'm headed sometimes. Folks, all of those things that you depend upon, all those things. Folks, if you don't have Christ, tell me, what do you do when your health goes? What do you do when your mind isn't working right? What do you do when the things that you thought you had worked out aren't worked out anymore? What do you do? You have faith in you? You can't even remember where you're going. And you have faith in you? Listen to King David as he writes in the Psalms. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." And then a little bit earlier, he wrote these words in Psalm 25, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." He had faith in God the Savior. God the Savior. He trusted him. He had faith in him. He looked to him. He had faith that this one who had made him, this one who had made him a shepherd and this one who had made him a king, would be the one that would help him fight the enemy that he could not have victory over. I tell you today that he's the same one.
Would you have faith in Him in your life?
As you sit here this morning and I ask you to think just for a moment about the things that trouble you, that cause you problems, that break your heart, the things that you do not have victory over, the places that seem to be that you cannot seem to get to in your life. Some of you, it seems like you just can't win at anything, can you? Find another guy or another gal, and pretty soon they're gone. Get another job, and things go okay for a while, and they're gone. You're going on in life, and suddenly the doctor tells you the things you do not want to hear. All of those pieces that come, and you have nowhere to turn unless you have faith in God. He will take care of you. He will help you. He will walk with you. He will be the rock that will not be moved. He will be your Savior. Well, the New Testament saints knew this truth. See, as New Testament believers, we have come to the place where we have believed that we can place our faith in Jesus, and He will always, always be with us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will love you and place His hand of protection on you. You can trust Him to keep you here on earth and take you to heaven. You can trust Him to forgive you and to cleanse you. You can trust Him to hold you and comfort you. You can trust Him to be the Savior. He came to this earth on your behalf and my behalf. And you can trust Him to never forget that truth and to always have grace for you in your time of need. As you look at the Christmas decorations and you participate in the Christmas celebrations, know this clearly and know this without doubt. Your faith in Him can be given to Him because He will care for you. There is His promise for anyone and everyone who has faith in Him. That is the kind of hope we have as Christians in our hearts today. No matter what comes, no matter where we go, He is our Savior. Well, the last thing I give you, and again, it seems repetitious to me, but see, we have hope in the Savior. That's where our hope rests. All through the Scriptures, we find that God the Savior has taken care of His creation. Read the Scriptures, watch what God does, and you will note that from the very moment of creation until the consummation, we are shown that we can place our hope in the Savior. When Adam and Eve fell, we are shown the appearance of God in the garden providing sacrifice for their sin. When you look to the New Testament, we're shown God entering a garden called Gethsemane so that He could offer a sacrifice for the sins of all who would turn to Him. And finally, if you look to the record of the second coming, you will find that God will come for His glorious church. And as this physical world will cease, we will be saved to enter the wonders of our eternal home with Him. In Him we have that hope. In Jesus, our Savior, we see the hope of not just eternity, but we also are given the hope that we can actually have victory now. We do not have to live as a defeated people, but we can live as victorious men and women walking in the precious, wonderful blessings of God. Christmas is the reminder that there is this one who actually came to give us hope of living in this life as He would have us to live in this life. Do you recall Matthew 1:21? She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save his people from their sins. See, there's the hope. The one that saves from our sins. Through Jesus, we have hope that death does not have victory over us. Again, Paul wrote, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we have hope. Hope in Him. Christmas is far more than just a story about a baby in a manger. But it's about the glorious Savior who gives us hope of life both now and forever, and hope of liberty. The hope of Christmas rests in God our Savior. It's revealed to us through the Old Testament truths that were given and through the New Testament Savior who came for us. We needed Him. We can trust Him. And we can rest our hope in Him. Christmas, what a celebration. What a celebration. I really look forward to it. I really do. I really look forward to seeing my kids and my grandkids sitting around in the living room at my daughter's house. I look forward to it. Now, I'm sure that you all have something similar that's going on in your life. I'll sit down and I'll watch those grandkids tear through the things. The older ones are getting older. All they want is cash. The universal coupon, you know. That's all they want. Landon, he's 8, and so he still likes the toys. We talked to our daughter, by the way, and she's getting the brick Bible for him. And at least she's supposed to. Ruth told her, she said, your dad wants you to get that for him from us. She'd already given her the money to buy everything, you know. And oh my, to watch those kids as they do the things they do, laugh. And then our sons and our daughter, they'll be carrying Debbie to fix some kind of food for us to eat that night. What a time that will be. And we'll sit down together. And we'll read the Christmas account. And we'll be reminded that Christmas is more than just about presents or even about a baby. But it's about a Savior who is God, who came for us. I ask you this morning, do you know that Savior? Father, in the name of your Son, we come to you this morning, and I thank you. I thank you that you are truly the Savior. When David wrote about you, he declared that you were his Savior. You had taken care of him. You had kept him from the enemy. You had provided him life. You made him a king. And Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, you have given us life eternal. He is truly the Savior that saves from sin and the one that gives us hope. We have faith in you. We trust you. We hope in you. And if there's some people here today that they can't say that, I pray that before they leave here this morning, that they will come to the place where they'll call out to you with all their heart and just declare, I need a Savior. And oh Father, with those words, you will give them a Savior who takes away their sin, who will make them a king and priest in this world and enable them to have a hope that steps into eternity. Oh God, may that be true for every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?